Well, some of you probably know, or as I've said before, I'm a hunter, and I duck hunted in high school with a group of friends, and typically a lot of things that we had planned didn't go as planned. Like, there were just times where we learned a lot because what we were doing was not going to work, or the thing we tried didn't work. And one day, or one time, one of my friends actually got a John boat, and it was given to us because it was about as worth as much as free could be. Like, it wasn't in great shape, but we got it, and man, it was so awesome because we now had a John boat that we could use. And so he took it and put some silicone all over it, and just put it in his pool. And he was a small guy, like maybe 140 pounds. I mean, small guy. And I was a big guy, still am, but you can imagine that. So he put it in his pool and said, "Hey guys, it's good. It's going to work. It's going to be great." Well, nobody tested it until the morning we got to the pond besides that. And so we get to the pond. It was one of the coldest mornings I ever remember duck hunting. Like, this is in East Texas, but the pond was frozen over. Now, it wasn't like skating ice, but it was probably an eighth of an inch thick in the middle. But on the edges, it was like a half inch thick. I mean, we were breaking ice with oars to paddle out there. So we get there. There's three guys that get in this boat along with our decoys and gear. And I kid you not, like there was only about that much of the boat sticking up out of the water. So it's like 2-3 inches, which I don't know if you've ever been in a small, narrow John boat, but they tip easily too. So this whole time, it was hilarious because I'm paddling and my friend in the back is paddling, and we had this younger, our younger friends with us, and we just knew, like, if we hurt him, his mom would kill us. And so the whole time we're like, "Man, you just need to stay as still as possible." It's like, "Don't move, you know, just stay as still as possible." So we're going out in this, and we get about halfway out to this pond. We're going to hunt on this island. It's like 100 foot. We get 50 feet out in the middle, and the silicone starts leaking. It's like, okay. And he had put like stuff on top of little pinholes, and like it's just popping out, and water's starting to come up in the boat. It's like, okay, this is not a good situation. And so we're trying to paddle as fast as we can at the same time to stay still so the water doesn't like come over the boat. We're kind of submarining this boat across this pond. So we finally make it to the side. We get there, we hunt, and then coming back, it's just like, as fast as you can go, put two guys in it, and you better just be pedaling. And so we got it. We kind of made it work. It happened. But as we kind of got back from that moment of just kind of, this did not go as planned, made us reassess our plan. So at that point, we kind of re-engineered how we were going to fix it. We put some JB Weld in it, and we never put more than two guys in the boat because we knew, like, this thing could go down at any point, but we made it work. But that moment where things didn't go as planned, or really was not something we expected, caused us to reevaluate and refocus. Maybe there's a time in your life where you feel like, "Man, that did not go as planned." Like, you've probably thought about this. There's a lot of stories, I guess, unfortunately, but fortunately, I learned a lot that happened to me where it's like, "Man, that did not go as planned. I didn't see that one coming." But really, for us as a church, that's what 2020 was. We didn't see it coming. It was a time where we found ourselves in a place that we had never been before, with challenges that we hadn't faced before. But what happened through that kind of adversity is it allowed us to focus. It allowed us to evaluate what we were doing. It allowed us to be creative and think of new ways to do things. In some ways, we were forced to think of a new way. But it also kind of gave us this renewed focus to really look at our vision and our mission, to really see things that were an issue that maybe weren't working as well as we thought, and areas to work on. So looking back at 2020 and what it did for us as a church, it really helped us to refocus on our vision and mission. It helped us to dream. It helped us to think through how we would do things to continue to be a church for the unchurched, guiding people to take their next steps with God. And so as we looked at that this morning, I'm excited to share with you some of the things that the staff has talked about and prayed about really for the last several months. But 2020 gave us some challenges we'd never faced before, but it gave us a couple of gifts as well. There was a silver lining kind of in this year, and it gave us the gift of perspective. Man, one of the questions we evaluated a lot and thought about a lot was, what is the church really about when you're not meeting on a Sunday morning? Like, this was a completely different deal, and it made us realize and see areas that needed to be potentially stronger, or areas that we needed to focus on in a different way, because when we couldn't meet together for a couple times this past year, we had to see what it was like to be the church and how people could still care for each other and serve one another and grow in their relationship with God. It also gave us the gift of time. This year was something where the staff really had to figure things out on the fly a lot of times, and we had to work hard on a lot of things, but when our kind of event calendar schedule got cleared, it allowed us to focus on things and dream on things that we didn't kind of have time to do or didn't necessarily do before. Gave us opportunity to think about what it would look like when we returned from COVID, and to think about what things we would kind of grow in, or what things we would focus on, or other things that we may clear away. And so this year, every Sunday in March, as we celebrate the 20-year kind of birthday of Brazos Point Fellowship and the 3-year birthday of the Mid-County Campus, we're going to unpack every Sunday in March this disciple-making pathway. And we're really excited about this because we feel like this is going to help you more than ever before. I don't know why that was hard to get out. Help you more than ever before take your next steps with God. Like what we realized in this season was just some of the things, like our God Marks card that we have wasn't maybe as clear as we wanted it to. So we wanted to give you a plan to be able to work through those God Marks cards and grow in those God Marks. We want to give you tools to do that. And because of kind of where we're focusing and our refocus on our vision and mission this year, I'm excited about where we are going. But one of the things we also want to address too, and kind of one of the other things we thought about, is what membership looks like. As I said, when we got to this point of a church, figuring out and understanding, trying to see what a church looked like when we didn't have Sunday mornings, we kind of realized, man, this thing of membership is more important maybe than we thought before, or it has some different ways that we want to focus on. And so I want to kind of cast vision for a new way that we're going to look at membership. And if you're not a member of Brazos Point, if this is your first morning here, or if you just kind of started coming, I really want to kind of invite you into this conversation this morning. It's kind of a family conversation, but it's one that I want you to hear, because I hope that you'll understand and know a little bit more about who we are, and that you will come and be a part of this family one day as well. But really, three questions were kind of at the heart of what we talked about when we said this, and really is this: what does it mean to be a member at Brazos Point Fellowship? What does it do? What are the benefits? What does it mean in that regard? And better, why should you become a member? And as a staff, we've talked about and thought about these questions all year long, and God kind of gave us new eyes through this year to evaluate and see what really mattered. And so I want to answer this question: what is membership at Brazos Point Fellowship? At our last DBP, or Discovering Brazos Point, it's our membership class, which happened almost a year ago before all things kind of shut down. We asked people to do these things. Each person who joined to become a member publicly declared their belief in Jesus through believer's baptism. They affirmed the 8 essential beliefs, and they committed by the end of the first year as members to do these things: to attend worship regularly, to join a small group, to serve in a ministry, to develop habits to grow spiritually, and finally, to financially support the church's mission and ministries. Does that sound like a lot of things? It can seem like a lot, but everyone who's joined this church has committed to those things, has made that commitment, but is everyone keeping it? And I'm not here to try to shame you this morning or say this, but this is where kind of those of you who are members or not yet members who are kind of stepping into this conversation, we're not. And I really kind of want to say, I think I can speak for most of us and say that we really want to. And I think that's the case. We really want to, but it's hard. We know it's possible because there are some who have committed to these things and kept those commitments. But for others, it's just too much, especially if you've been a new Christ follower. And this was kind of some of the things we thought through and processed through as we talked about this. The definition of insanity is to do something over and over and over again and expect different results. And so this year, we don't want to keep doing things that don't seem to be working. And this is where kind of 2020 gave us a clarity that we needed. And so in this, we kind of saw some things that we wanted to rethink membership in a way that does work. If you've got your Bibles, open your Bibles to Hebrews 13. We're going to be Hebrews 13, chapter 17, or verse 17. And as we're kind of talking about Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written to Christ followers. It was written to Christ followers who were under pretty heavy persecution by one of two kind of Roman emperors who were not friendly to Christ followers. I mean, it was really bad. It was really rough. And so it's written to these people who needed a lot of encouragement, who needed a lot of hope. But in the last kind of part of this book, this letter, there's kind of this individual or last set of instructions that the author gives these Christ followers. It's similar to how when you left for college or you left to go on a trip for the first time by yourself, your parents probably gave you a set of instructions, right? Like some more than others. I remember my parents always saying every time we spent the night at somebody's house to say, yes, ma'am, yes, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. That was the thing that they drilled into us, but that was always some of our final instructions there when we would go to spend time with somebody else. Typically, like I remembered that one thing about those instructions. You could remember one thing. One thing kind of stood out above everything else. But let me tell you kind of what stood out for us as we, as a staff, kind of have been thinking about what it comes to when it comes to membership. Verse 17 says this: have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. Now, two-thirds of what I just read, I'm not talking to you about today because you guys do that well. The first part of having confidence in your leaders and submitting to their authority, man, y'all do that. And that's awesome. It's a real privilege for me to be in the position that I am, and it does give me joy to lead you. Like, I'm excited about what God's doing here, and I'm excited to be in the position that I am. But the thing I want to focus on this morning is what it says of the why, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. And this is kind of a weighty thing. It's not a weighty in the sense of it's really burdensome and brings me down a lot, but this is a weighty thing in the sense of importance. And here's the deal. It doesn't only include me. It includes all of you that are leaders in this church as well. Like, this is an important thing. This is a weighty thing. And this is the thing that stood out to us as we thought about this. Why? Because we as leaders of this church have to give an account to God of how we are doing and caring for members. And as I said before, the COVID pandemic, especially when we couldn't meet, really caused us to look into what membership is and what it looks like for us. It gave us a deeper understanding that clarified the question to what is membership at Brazos Point. And what we really saw is that church membership is about care. Membership at Brazos Point is about care. Why join a church? So that you can have someone keep watch over you and help you navigate life and your relationship with God. It's really about being truly known. Church membership is about being known so that someone can be with you in times of need, so that someone can help you and call and check on you as we did with members during these times where we couldn't meet together. It's about being truly, or it's about being cared for. It's also why join a church, so that someone who loves you and who loves you and knows you can warn you if you begin to drift away from the commitment to follow Jesus Christ. It's about being truly loved. So why is it important for membership at Brazos Point? Why is it important to plug in, to be known, to be cared for, and to be loved? Why be a member? So we can care for you, and the next thing is to let us care for you. Let us care for you. Like, some of you may have been here for a while, and you may have been attending for a while, but you've never really taken that next step to get connected. Let us care for you. Why? Because you need what our church was created to give. And here's the deal. Those of you who have been a part of a small group, who have received food or different things when you've lost a loved one or had a surgery or had a baby, I've been on the receiving end of that for the last several weeks, and it's been amazing. Like, to have cards and meals and all kinds of things provided for us has just been so cool. It's been such a blessing to us. Man, those of you who have had somebody help you out through a tough time or comfort you when you're grieving the loss of a loved one, know the importance of being connected to a church. And we plan to have a membership class in mid-February. We plan to have a DBP for the first time in about a year to where we will give you this opportunity to sign up and to become a member. But there's a flip side kind of that idea of care. Like, it matters to you for those reasons, but it also matters to us. Why? So that we as leaders can know for whom we must give an account to God. This is why it's important to us. And if you only attend on Sundays, right now, at the state of our campus, like I pretty much can know at least who you are and maybe your name, but I'm just going to admit I'm terrible at names. Like I don't know if that's just something that God put in me to make me know that better or try to understand that better or be humbled a little bit, because there's many of the times where I'm talking to you, but I do not remember your name. And it's like, Lord, help me here. Maybe they can say their name in the conversation and I can pick up that, or somebody else can come in. But I may know who you are, but I don't know the things that are going on in your life. Even a church of the size that we have, I don't know the things that are going on in your life. And so even if you only attend on occasional Sundays, or even if you attend every Sunday, but are not connected in, then I may not know everything that's coming or going on in your life. And I can't care for you, much less make an account or give an account to God. And so how do we do that? How do we keep watch over and kind of help care for every person? And as this church campus grows, let me just tell you, it's only going to get harder and harder. And it will grow. Like there will be a time where there it will grow, and I won't know all of the faces on a Sunday morning. And so we've kind of created this and used small groups to do that. We've used small groups to help us care for those people. Some churches call it Sunday school, but it's our way of caring for you. And it's not the perfect way, but it's the best way that we have. And so small group leaders and future leaders help us care for our members. Again, what I said earlier is this involves you who are leading. Like you who are leading different groups, you who are doing different things in a leadership role are part of this as well. And so we need you, but we also need more of you. But this is how it's been done since the very beginning of the church in the first century. And so if you want to, or if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. I really kind of want us to see this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And as I read this, pay attention to the bond that church members have with each other, but then also pay attention to what happens in the community around them. What happens to the people who are looking and watching and seeing what's going on? Pay attention to what happens there. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled at awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Man, God was moving in big ways, and so people are just in awe. They're just in awe of what God is doing. Things that are being done are just kind of crazy. They're just unthought of, unfathomed. Verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They didn't think exactly alike, but they had one thing in common, and that was the gospel, and this was their main priority. And so they sold property and had possessions to give to anyone who had need. And we've seen you do this. I've seen you do this. It's really cool to see and watch from my perspective. And then verse 46 and 47, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And that word at the end, being saved, is really the Bible's way of describing what we call stepping over the line of faith. It's this point where you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and you're saved from your sin because Jesus took the weight and the punishment of your sin upon himself. But what we see in this picture of the beginning of the church in Acts, of the beginning of the church in the first century, is we see what they did. They worshiped Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem and they grew close to one another in each other's homes. This is how they kept watch over each other. And it's not a watch in the sense of like every time somebody messes up, you're right there to tell them when the mess up happens. But when somebody's going through a hard time or needs care or even is drifting away, like I said before, from their commitment to follow Jesus, it's a loving response to go and meet them where they are. This is how they cared for each other. This is how they kept watch for each other. As we thought about that line in Hebrews 13:17 as a staff and focused on what membership would look like, it allowed us to kind of clear some things away that aren't necessary on the front end of that membership. And so beginning this year at our next DBP that we're having in mid-February, we're expecting people who come through our DBP classes or Discovering Brazos Point classes to do these three things to become members of our church. One is to publicly profess your faith in Jesus through biblical baptism. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word for church means ekklesia. It's ecclesia, and it means called out. And so only those who have been called out, who have stepped over the line of faith and responded to Jesus' call, are part of the church. And we affirm that calling out by believers' baptism, by Jesus' command to be baptized. So we'll ask that they agree to that. The second is to affirm the doctrine of our eight essential beliefs, one of which is the belief that the Bible is God's word to us without error, without fault, and it's all true. The last thing that we're going to ask members to do is to become active in a small group, because that's how we will care for you. That's how we will know who those are that we need to keep watch over as those who must give an account. And so those are the three things that we're going to ask. And membership is something that is really good for both of us, for the church and for you, and because it strengthens the church, but also it means a lot for you because it fulfills something that you were created for, which is as a Christ follower, is to be known, to be loved, and to be cared for as you walk in your relationship with Jesus. To be known, to be loved, to be cared for. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, 25. It says this. This is kind of the definition of what it feels like, I think, to be known, loved, and cared for. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another as you see the day approaching. The day that's being referenced here is Jesus coming back the second time. And so what we see in this verse or in these verses is that there's people who are being known, loved, and cared for. It's people that are being that are like-minded with you, that are encouraging you as we continue on. Why? Because life can be hard as a Christ follower. Like, it's good for us to have encouragement because life can be hard as a Christ follower because it's hard to follow Jesus. But here's the deal. We weren't designed to do it alone. God gives us accountable relationships and intentional relationships to do that. That's our third guide mark, is investing in accountable relationships. And so what we see that God's given us is these people to help walk with us in our life, to be known, to be loved, to be cared for. And as we see that this happens through small groups. Small groups can spur one another on to do the things that everyone always committed to do, but everyone was not able to do. And so we want you to serve still, but we know that your small group can help you do that. We want you to serve. Why? Because volunteering glorifies God and helps others. And you can learn this and see this by serving with your small group, but also serving with your small group and serving with other people of your small group. We still want you to develop spiritual disciplines that lead to personal growth. Why? Because they provide a biblical worldview. They feed your soul. And your small group can help with this because they can help you learn how to grow spiritually from others in your small group. We still want you to worship weekly with the church at our weekend experience. Why? Because it brings you into God's presence and reminds you of Jesus' love for you. Your small group can help you because it gives somebody to maybe help you or it gives somebody to sit with and know when you come on Sunday morning. We want you to support this church financially because we need it, but also because, more importantly, you need it, because you realize when you give that it reminds you that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Your small group can help you with that because you'll hear stories of these in your group who have discovered this firsthand, that you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And so we do want you to get all the way there eventually, but what we're doing is kind of focusing more on small groups to help you get to these things. And there are a lot of you who are committed and are doing these things, because our church couldn't do all the things that it does typically if so many of you were not already there. But we understand that what we expected of members and new Christ followers at the beginning was something that was hard to reach and something that was probably too much. But this new emphasis on small groups through membership creates a challenge. Why is that? Because we don't have enough small groups. This is another honest thing. We don't have enough small groups to care for our members, but I believe that we will. I believe that's something that God is going to do this year. This pandemic revealed some of the practices and things that we were doing in small groups that we can change. So we have some new ideas for small groups this year. But I'm excited about where God is leading us this year. Last week, we talked about being pruned. And as Christ followers, God prunes us, the master gardener prunes us to produce more fruit. And I think we can be pruned as a church. I think we are being pruned as a church. And I think this is what's happening. And it's exciting. Why? Because it leads to new growth. It leads to us being better fit to fulfill God's purpose in this community, to be a church for the unchurched in the heart of Missouri County, guiding people to take their next steps with God. Like, that is why we're here. And as I thought about this message this week, it really excited me as I looked on the last verses of this of what we read in Acts. And as I read on that, I just dreamed about and prayed about what it could look like for us. I want to read that again. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Listen to this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Man, I just can't help but read that and get excited. Why? Because as I've said, I think God has positioned us in a really unique spot as a church, in a really unique spot as a church to be used by God. And I just can't help but get excited when I think about that happening here. Not because we'll get bigger, which I think we will, and not because we'll get more influential, which I think we will. I get excited about that, not because of those things, but because when we get bigger, there are more people who are going to hear about the gospel. There are more people who are going to hear about the love of Jesus through those who have committed to follow Jesus, those Christ followers that are a part of this church. And so I know as we grow, there will be people and more people that will hear about that. One of the favorite, or several years ago when I was in seminary and school, I heard about the Welsh Revival. It was the first time I'd ever heard about this, but I just can't help but think of it in this context as well. Welsh Revival took place in the 1900s, early 1900s, really from 1901 to 1910. And there were a few people that stood out as kind of the people who started it or played a big role, that God used to play a big role in. Two of those people were really young people. They were teenagers. One was a guy named Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts kind of led this revival. God used him to lead this revival. And what Evan Roberts said kind of at the beginning of when God started to use him in this is he had a moment where he basically just felt like God was calling him to do something big. He felt like God was telling him to just prepare for preaching or prepare for what he was about to do. And God, and Evan Roberts just said, bend me, Lord, bend me. He put himself in a position to be used by God and said, whatever it looks like, I'm in. Lord, bend me. And God used that and used him to do something really big and impactful. The other person that I think about was Florrie Evans. Florrie Evans was a young teenage girl who stepped over the line of faith just in her teenage years. A few weeks after she'd stepped over the line of faith, she was at this church service and basically kind of a youth meeting. Basically, when she got there, they asked the question, what does Jesus mean to you? The leader who was doing this, somebody stood up and kind of gave a churchy answer or a traditional answer of like, well, Jesus is the Lord of all. It's true, but it was just kind of a churchy answer. But she stood up and said, well, I don't really know what to say, but I know that I love Jesus with all my heart. And God used that confession to move people in that room and begin to start something that carried on. And let me tell you a little bit about what happened at the Welsh Revival. So in those years, what happened, the results of that, some of the things that happened were judges found no cases to try on the docket. Like, there was nothing. No crime was being committed. Nothing was happening. There were judges who literally showed up to work at 8 a.m. and looked at the docket and was like, I got nothing to do. I feel like, you know, sometimes ministers do that too. No, I'm just kidding. I've been told before that I only work one day a week. It's like, yeah. But judges, that was a joke. But judges found themselves with nothing to do. There was no crime that was being committed. Why? Because of all the things that God was doing through these people who said, yes, God, use me. God, bend me. Alcoholism and drunkery, as far as that was gone, drunkenness in the streets was cut in half. Hundreds of people at times would begin to step over the line of faith, and it changed, and it just began to spread. Like, it touched all continents. There was stuff that happened in the U.S. There was stuff that happened in Africa and Europe and Asia because of this. And so why does that encourage me, and why do I tell you that in this context? man, like I've said this whole morning, we need you. We need you. It's something that God can do, but it takes each one of us to say, yes, God, I will step into that. And so this year, as we revision and kind of refocus on our vision and mission to be a church feeling church and ask you to join us in small groups, we need you. So will you join us in planning and preparing for what God will do through BPF in 2021? Man, maybe for you that looks like stepping into church membership and joining a small group, a place that you are known, loved, and cared for, so you grow in your relationship with him, and through that, God begins to use your life that you've given to him to do things in a really big way. Maybe you're already a part of a small group, or you have been a part of a small group. Man, for you, my challenge would be to think about the people that you know who are not currently in a small group and consider stepping out to lead or host one. What may God be calling you to do? And through your yes to him, what may he be getting ready to do in the world? Pretty crazy to think about. And so this morning, as we kind of draw this to a close, I want you to pray those things. And I want you to pray about what your next step is, but I also want everyone to just even pray about, man, maybe your next step is to join a small group, to step into membership. If that's what it is, great. But I want everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, and I want you to just ask God to give you names of people who are not in a small group. Just spend the next 10 or 15 seconds asking God to give you names of people who are not in a small group. Now with the names that God's given you, ask him what he would have you do with those names, but also give God your yes. And as Evan Roberts said, Lord, bend me, give God your yes. If you'd spend the next little bit of time doing that too. Lord, I know what may be on the hearts and minds of these in the room today. Maybe struggling with not knowing what to do or feeling incapable or feeling unprepared. But God, I pray that whatever you're saying, whether it's the notion that they could host or they could lead or they can be a part of a small group where they're known, loved, and cared for. God, I pray that through this, that you would just give us what we need to step into that. God, I pray as we think about what 2021 could look like, that you would just excite us with purpose. And God, you would draw us back to the mission and vision. And Lord, I pray that this morning, that this week, that we would say, Lord, bend me, Lord, use me. Man, it is however that may look, God, I pray that you would help us to do just that. That we would give our lives, our hands, and whatever else that you may have been giving us, gifts to serve and love you. And God, I pray that you would bring revival. God, that in 2021 that we would see you move. Why? Because we chose, each one of us chose to take our next step with you and to commit further to knowing you. And because of what you're doing with that commitment, God, that we would just see a change here. And it can happen. But I pray that. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen. Man, I say I'm excited, and I probably said I'm excited a ton of times. I really am. Like, it's exciting. I think the place that God has put us as a church for 2021, just based on what the world looks like around us, is something where he's just kind of set us up to shine. But it starts with each one of us. It starts with us committing to him and being connected where you're known, loved, and cared for. And so, man, take that challenge this week. the people that you thought of and the things that you may have thought of doing, of hosting or leading a small group, step into that. But I would also ask you that you would join me in this in praying that God would move in a really powerful way here. Why? Because this place, the heart of Brazoria County, needs a church that's focused on a mission and a vision like ours. He's a church that's focused on a mission of being a church and unchurched, guiding people to take their next steps with God. And so would you pray with me that week in that direction? And let's see what God can do in 2021.